Hi, this is Gurusi Singh and you're listening to my Thick Accent Podcast. As the world becomes more interconnected, studying abroad has become a popular option for students looking to broaden their horizons. However, navigating the challenges of living in a foreign country can be daunting. For those who were planning to move abroad back in 2018, just like myself, had to rely on limited resources and personal experiences to thrive in their new home. But in recent years, there has been an increase in the number of YouTube channels dedicated to providing guidance and advice to international students, offering a wealth of information on topics such as housing, healthcare, culture shock, various universities and colleges, and much more. Well, not all YouTube channels tell you the right story, and some can be misleading. But then there are very few who tells the ground reality and prepares you to be your own mother and your own father in the new world. And my guest today has one such channel. He moved to Canada in 2018 to pursue his post-graduation in embedded systems from Confrontation College in Thunder Bay. Understanding how full of struggle an immigrant's life is and how important it is to gain the practical information about what to expect when you arrive in Canada, he started his YouTube channel in 2021, who now has around 270,000 subscribers with more than 160 videos and millions of views. His YouTube journey was also featured on cbc.ca and is also probably one of the top educational content creators on Instagram. Let's learn more from him about his journey of living in Canada and becoming his own father and his own mother, and how he's guiding along you around your journey like an elder brother. Please welcome Gursahib Singh.
Thank you, Gurasis, for a great introduction.
Awesome. Absolutely. Welcome on the podcast, Gursahib. How are you today?
Thank you so much. I'm good. How are you? Your introduction motivated me. Like listening to that, I got motivated to make more videos.
I'm very glad to hear that. So talking about videos, Gursahib, tell me, do you remember your very first video that you posted in July 2021? What was it about?
Yes, I remember that video. That video was about advantages of studying in Canada. So at that point of time, when somebody wants to immigrate to Canada, express entry is one of the most popular options, right? Mm-hmm. But it has a CRS cutoff, like there is a cutoff, potential candidates need to clear that. So at that point of time, the cutoff was very high. So it was not possible for a normal person to clear that cutoff. So I thought, okay, so what could be the other option if you want to immigrate to Canada? Well, that studying would be a better option if somebody is unable to clear that cutoff. And in that video, I explained the advantages, like what could be the advantages of studying in Canada.
Okay. And do you remember how many views it got back then?
Yeah, I remember exactly. It got 72 views like in a week. Like that 72 views also came because I shared it on my Facebook, family and friends, all that. So that's why 72 views.
Well, that definitely turned into 720,000 and much more for sure.
Yes, yes.
We will definitely talk more about other views that you got. You have even reached a million, you know, eventually. So let me take you back to the time you spent in India, in New Delhi. Tell us a little bit about your formative years there and what the focus was on growing up.
Yeah, so as I was born and brought up in New Delhi, I was born in a very middle-class family. We were not very rich, like we were very constrained in terms of money. And my upbringing was like always respecting your elders and what we learn from our parents and elders, right? Yeah. Generic stuff. But what I saw during my initial, like my childhood days, that I learned that money is very important. Be it anything, be it a medical emergency, be it fulfilling the dreams of your children, I came to know that money is a very important thing. So this was the first thing I learned in my childhood, like till my 12th standard. And I went to a very nice school. It was near my house. And people from like very rich families came there. My father like did so much struggle to get me admitted in that school. Mm-hmm. And from there also, I learned that money is very important, man. Like, if it's not everything, it has to be beside everything. I love that.
And if I'm not wrong, you were also teaching at some point during your time there?
Yeah. So basically, I did my 12th standard from a very nice, prestigious school, called the Rich People School, that student of the year type of school. And and when I was in my 8th standard, I met somebody randomly. I was just coming from school to my home. There was a lady who was standing with her kid. She told she asked me, like, if you can teach him. She wants her son to get admitted in the same school. So there was an entrance exam to get admission in that school. And she told me that, oh, okay, can you just teach him? I don't know why. She just saw my uniform and she came to know, okay, he's from this school. Can you just teach him? Randomly, very random. So I said, okay, no problem. I'll just, it will be a 1 hour stuff and I'll teach you. Okay. So I went, I taught that guy. He was in 7th standard. He wanted to get admission in 8th standard. And he told his mother that this person, Guru Sahib, taught me so well. Like, his way of explanation, his clarity of concepts was very good. Like, he's a very good teacher. That was the first moment when I came to know that, okay, I can teach. Then after 12th standard, I started teaching people, like students in my neighborhood. And they also gave the same response. Then I was teaching students in my neighborhood. I got admission in my engineering college. And in the last semester, I was supposed to do an internship, a 6 months internship in a company. There, I applied to several companies. I got the position of a robotics intern in a startup. And their main business was going to colleges and universities and giving workshops and seminars on robotics and embedded systems. So the first workshop I went, I thought, okay, I will be assisting the main professor, but I was like forced to teach the class. Like, there were about 120 students in an engineering college, and I was told to open the workshop, give a opening speech. I was so afraid. Like, I was a college student. I was in my last semester. I didn't know what to say. And I did not prepare anything. See, if you are going to teach, we know, okay, I have to teach this concept. This is the topic. But the opening speech is very different. You don't know what to say.
Yeah.
And it was my first time. I don't know. Everything was organic. I don't even remember what I said. And they started clapping. I don't remember. What did I say?
Wow.
And slowly, gradually, I started going to, started giving workshops and seminars all across India. And the way I taught, everybody appraised that, okay, teach very like in a very good manner, like the clarity of concepts from the basics, you teach very good. So I thought, okay, I'm a good teacher. I don't know, like, not praising myself, but a lot of people have told me,
you know, this really understanding of like teaching, you know, this really reflects in your videos a lot, like the way you kind of organize one by one, you know, the points that you mention, and everything is like very chronological, and like a hierarchy is there. And so I think you can say that with the years of practice, it has become organic to you, that it comes naturally to you, and you end up posting these videos.
And you know, most of my videos are not scripted. Like, I just write the pointers and I just say what's coming in my mind. Everything's organic.
So you don't like really sit and plan about it, or like what you want to say?
Like, I plan the videos. I write some pointers, like what I'm going to talk about. For example, I made a recent video about worst part-time jobs in Canada for international students. Right. There were 5 to 6 part-time jobs I talked about. And I did not write, okay, I'm going to speak word to word this about this particular job, and for this job I'll say this. It was not like that. I just wrote, okay, factory jobs, and then working in a restaurant or whatever, XYZ, that's it. The rest, everything was organic, on spot.
We will definitely unfold more of this, but I just want to go back to the time again in India. So after that, like you said, you were teaching there, and you were also working, you know, with the technical market, and you were just working here and there. So how did you end up planning to come to Canada? Tell us about that.
It's a long story, I would say. When I was like teaching, I was an intern over there in a startup. So eventually I thought, okay, if I can teach well, I found somebody who was good technically, and we thought, okay, let's start a company, and we'll give workshops in different colleges and universities, because there are so many tech fests going on in India, right? So we started our company. We started giving because I was getting popularity in New Delhi. If somebody wants to learn embedded systems, okay, learn from this person. There is a Sikh guy who teaches embedded system in New Delhi. He teaches very well. So I thought, okay, why not leverage that thing? And I start my own company. So we discussed, okay, students will be coming using my name. And you, the other person, my co-founder, is going to draft all the technical stuff, do product development and everything, like capture other part of the market. So that was the thing. And then we ran that company for 2 years, but due to the conflict of interest, we had to shut that down. There were so many reasons. One of them, the biggest one was we had some conflict in ideas, right? Then I thought, okay, I discussed with one of my uncles. He is living in Ontario, Milton. He said that, okay, why don't you come to Canada? There are so many opportunities in terms of embedded systems, robotics and automation, all that stuff. So you can come to Canada if you want. I had no idea. Like, I didn't know, it is possible to immigrate to a different country. Like, in my mind, it was like, we are born in India. We are going to stay in India or wherever you are born, right? I didn't know that there is a possibility of moving from one country to another. Like, you just uproot yourself from a country and go somewhere else. He told me, okay, this is the way, and this is the website you can just research. I came to know, and in 2015, I was like, okay, I can move to Canada. This is the federal FSW program. And I'm making 60 points. But till the time I got prepared for it, in 2015, there was a new system launched, Express Entry. And I was unable to clear the cutoff at that point of time because initially when Express Entry was launched, the cutoff was 800, 700. It was impossible for me to clear that. So I thought, okay, I'll study in Canada. I'll go for studies. And I came to know, okay, studying in Canada costs around $30,000, $40,000. So I thought, okay, it's very expensive. So I started working in India. I worked 3 years. I did some freelance stuff, like going to colleges as a freelance, speaker or a presenter, and gave workshops, hands-on workshops, collected some money so that I can sponsor my education in Canada. And then I came to Canada in 2008.
Well, you were definitely struggling to even come to Canada. So that's very inspiring for sure.
Yes.
But how was the process for you like? How long did it take you get your visa? Did your visa come on time?
Yes, finally decided in end of 2017, I gave my IELTS exam, academic, applied in February. I got my offer letter from Confederation College and Conestoga College in March. I paid my fees. I applied for my visa on 4th of May, initial May, 4, 5 or 6, I don't remember. And on 17th of May, within 15 days, I got.
Oh, wow. Well, it always seems impossible until it's done, right?
Yes. That time was very different. Before pre-COVID, 2018-17, visas were coming 5 days, 10 days.
Yeah. Like I said, it always seems impossible until it's done. And then in August 2018, you landed in Canada. You landed in Winnipeg. Like you said, you had your uncle there, right? So how was your first day in Canada like?
When I landed on 10th of August in Canada, it was like evening, 7 o'clock. I landed in Winnipeg. It was very different from most of the international students because I had few of my relatives over here, like in Winnipeg. So they came to pick me up. Everything was ready. Food was on the table when I reached the home, and the bed was ready. There was a special room for me. I just slept very nicely. So nice. And the next day I woke up, I went outside to explore some stores, shopping malls. Like, I felt so good. So that was like the first day. There was another first day when I moved to Thunder Bay where my college was. That was completely different, like completely 180 degrees turnaround. So when I went to Thunder Bay, I was talking to a person who said that, okay, there is a room available. You can come anytime and it's available for you. So on 21st of August, I reached there and I told him, okay, so like it was 7 o'clock in the morning. I reached there and he told me that, okay, nothing is available. I was standing on the door in the staircase at the entry of the house. He told me that nothing is available. You have to go out. I said, I don't know anybody in Thunder Bay. Where I will go? It's morning, 7 o'clock. I don't know. Like, literally nobody in Thunder Bay. So where will I go?
That's crazy.
So yeah. He told me, I don't know. Like, wherever you go. We had an argument for about 1 hour. And then he told me, okay, you can stay with us in the living room for 4 or 5 days. Meantime, you can look for your own room and then you can move. Yeah, so for 4 or 5 days, I had to sleep on a blanket. I did not have a bed. I did not have a mattress. So I had to use my blanket as like a base and sleep on that.
You know, whenever I hear these accommodation-related stories, it always boils my blood because I myself have had similar experiences where people have promised a place they have never given me. And I think even before coming, I was sort of prepared that, okay, I have to do, you know, everything on my own, my chores on my own, and other miscellaneous work on my own. Mm-hmm. But the only thing I wasn't prepared for was that accommodation will take forever. It will take forever to find an accommodation. I believe I was moving places every new week, and that was absolutely bonkers with like so much luggage with you. Also, Krishak, you did talk about, you know, a blanket and mattress a little bit. I remember you also mentioned that it wasn't up until December 2019, almost an year later, when you were finally able to get a bed and a good mattress to sleep. Tell us, why did you say that?
The issue was like the first 4 days when I was staying temporarily at that place, there was no point buying a mattress. I didn't know what kind of type of bed I'll be getting eventually. So I used my blanket as a base and I slept on that. And after 4 or 5 days, when I moved out, like when we come to Canada as an international student, right, we have limited money. And we are like on the peak of saving money. Even a single dollar is very important for us. So yeah. I did not buy a mattress. I went to Walmart. The mattresses were like $160, $200, the normal ones, spring mattress. The like least quality was for $160. And I went to the last section of Walmart where all that camping stuff is there. So there were air mattresses. They were for $17, $20, $25, maximum $50. So I bought the cheapest one. Like, I regret doing that, but I bought $17 air mattress and a pump. And I used it for like 4 months. When I moved out from that house, from that temporary accommodation, I got a permanent accommodation that was a small room. So I used that air mattress for about 3 months till December. And then I slept on that. And one night I remember like it just burst out.
No way.
I was like, I was sleeping. It was like 3 or 4. I don't remember what time it was. It was night. It just burst. And I said, leave it. I want to sleep. I slept on that way. And in December, I moved to another place. There, a mattress was available, but only mattress. There was no bed or anything, like no bed frame. It was just a mattress, a 6-inch mattress, which we get from Costco. So I slept on that for a good 1 year. I got a good mattress to sleep, like, after I graduated and moved to London. That was the best sleep I got, I would say.
That's such a crazy story, you know, the whole experiences that one has to go through, especially being an immigrant when you are saving money all the time. You are always trying to convert every dollar in your own currency, and that does take a toll on you when you kind of compromise on things.
But one thing I've learned, do not compromise. Like, a mattress would have costed me $200. In long run, $200 won't matter.
Exactly. Right?
So that was a mistake I did. It's a huge mistake I did. Like, I compromised my comfort for $200 or $300, which I shouldn't have done. So anybody who's coming to Canada as an international student or as a permanent resident, do not compromise for stuff like, which is available for $200, $300, maximum $500, because it won't matter in the long run.
Absolutely. Can't agree more. Okay, so Gursaib, let's just pivot towards your various part-time jobs that you have done. You have worked at Petro-Canada, you have worked at Real Canadian Superstore and many more. And there was also a time when you were working 70 hours a week. That's a lot. Tell us about that time. And first of all, the first question, listeners, international students might think that how is he able to work like more than 20 hours back in 2018 or 19? Tell us all about that.
So when my semester was going on, I was working 20 hours a week, not even 20 hours. I was working 16 hours a week. Because when you get a job in gas station, most of the gas stations give a shift of 8 hours only. So you can either get 16 hours a week or 24 hours a week. So I had an option. So I did not want to risk my student visa just for 4 hours of work, right? So I worked only 16 hours a week, and I was quite happy over there. Like, gas station job is one of the good jobs in Canada because you can do a lot of stuff after 9 o'clock. There is nothing to do. Very less people come to the gas station, and I could do my assignments, watch a movie, listen to music, or listen to podcast. So I did that, and I did 70 hours per week when I was not in my school. Like, it was a semester break, a 4 months break. So before the break was about to start, I told my owner that I want to, I can work full time. So I would like to work 30, 35 or 40 hours, like whatever the maximum you can give. So she gave me 32 hours per week, like four shifts for a week. And then I also got a job at a Real Canadian Superstore. And I was working there in the produce section, and there I was getting full time. Like, I was a full time employee. So 40 hours over there, 32 hours in gas station. So combined, it was 70 hours. So I used to work from morning, like morning 7 o'clock or 6 o'clock till 2 o'clock something in Real Canadian Superstore, and then 3 to 11 in Petro Canada.
Were you getting any time to cook or sleep or do anything else, or you were just working?
It was very difficult. Like, my housemates were a little, like, I would say, supportive in this scenario, because we had a rule in our house: if somebody is at work, like, there is a reason he's working 12 or 15 hours a day, right? So if somebody is cooking food, they would cook food for somebody who is not going to come home till 12 or 1 or 2 o'clock. So they were a little supportive in this.
Wow, that's good to hear. And you also worked at a convenience store at one time, and you used to do night shifts, and there was an incident which eventually made you leave that job. Please share with us that incident as well.
Yeah, so as I told, I was working 16 hours a week at the gas station. So I thought I can also work 4 hours somewhere, because the limit is 20 hours per week. So I started looking for a job, and eventually I got a job at a convenience store. He told me that the owner of the store, he told me that, okay, I'll give you 4 hours per week, no issues, but it will be like during night, 9 to 1 or 10 to 2, because he used to close his store at 2 o'clock at night.
Okay.
I said, I agreed. I said, okay, I want to collect my fees. I want to repay my loan. So that is okay. I can work. So I joined that job. And one day I was working. It was a normal day. It was around 12:30, I guess, like 12:30 a.m. Night. And a guy just walks in. He comes to the counter, the cashier counter, and just shows me a knife. And he tells me, whatever you have, just give me. Like, they know that there is a drawer, is a safe, there are lottery tickets and cigarettes. Like, the cigarettes are very expensive in Canada, $20 or $30 for a pack. Right. And there are lottery tickets for $50, $100 each. And he told me, whatever you have, just open it. I took out the drawer. Like, we have a limit of putting only $100 or $150 in the drawer. So I just take out the drawer and put it in front of him. He just picks up all the cash. He told me, open the safe. There's a safe over there where we keep around $1,000. Just change and everything, right? In the safe. So I told that I don't have password for the safe because I work only 4 hours. Obviously, I knew that. He told me three, four times he was in some hurry or something. So he just got all that cash from the drawer. He picked up all the lottery tickets, like whatever he could, and some cigarettes, and just ran up. And then I thought, like, I'm working 4 hours a week, risking my life. 4 hours means 4 into 14, whatever, like $50. a week. I cannot risk my life for $50 a week. So I thought, okay, let's leave from there. So I just left.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely like a wise choice. $50, you are literally putting your life in danger. But Gursaib, do they prepare you while training or anything that how to, react in these situations?
Yes, they give a proper training. If there is any robbery or anything, they mm-hmm. always prepare us. They just, the first rule is do not say no to anything. Whatever he's saying, just say yes. He wants to open the drawer, just open the drawer. He wants lottery tickets, he wants cigarettes, just say yes to that. I said no to the safe because I was a little concerned, like the owner was a desi guy, right? Didn't want to risk myself also. if it was a Canadian owner, I would have said, okay, take the safe, take everything, no worries. Because they are a little, the Canadian people, honestly, are a little cooperative in terms of robbery or when it comes to the life. Right? I'll be very honest. So I said no to the safe. And they also say that the second rule is as soon as the robber, the person goes away, leaves the store, shut the store, lock the doors, and call the police. So that's what I did.
So Gursaib, throughout my job search journey, I have had my share of experiences where there were questions about my accent, about my turban, and I think you can gauge whether a person is genuinely curious about you or they're just being racist. And you have also had a similar experience during your job search as well. Please tell us about that.
While I was an international student, I did not face any racism or any discrimination based on my turban or my color or my religion or anything.
Yeah.
But honestly, I have faced discrimination from my fellow immigrants. Right? Somebody told me that, okay, he's a Sikh and he cannot be an intelligent person. Like, I was one of the top three students of the class, like top two. And a friend of mine told a third person that this guy is second, he's come second in the class. And he told that, oh, he's a Sikh. How is it possible? I was a little shocked. Like, what does that mean? Like, how, like, it's very weird, right? So these kind of discriminations I've faced, but not from Canadians. I know, like, I've traveled in the bus. If I go to some shady area, there were some people who were like high, who were intoxicated, and they told me to go back to your country or stuff like that. But from a normal educated Canadian, I've never faced any discrimination or racism. They are very they're very good, I would say, like very accommodating. I have faced more racism from the fellow immigrants or people who are settled here for like 20, 30 years. That is the thing. When I was looking for a job, like a full-time job after my graduation, I gave so many interviews. There was just one instance when I faced, I was rejected because of my turban. Otherwise, there was no issue. That incident was basically I was supposed to work in Montreal. I was supposed to go in on field, do some client visits, meet customers. So there were about multiple rounds of interview. In the first two rounds, everything was fine because they were on audio. Like, there was audio calls. Everything was fine. The third interview round was a video call. And as soon as he saw me that I have beard, I have turban, so he told that, okay. He just like, it was, the call lasted for 15 minutes and he said, okay, we'll let you know. And that call was actually scheduled for 1 hour. Like, it was a technical interview. He was supposed to take all, like, ask me technical questions, do some coding rounds, but he didn't do anything. And within 15 minutes, he just hung up.
You know, you said this one point very correctly that this racism or this kind of bias, you do experience a lot from your fellow communities for some reason. And I think you are the right person to talk about these stereotypes as well. With you, I can talk about it because we both wear a turban and we have had these comments coming our way even back in India. Like, But I think the person who said that to you in your class, I think he's probably living in a bubble. In fact, there are more Sikhs in the Canadian Parliament than those in Indian Parliament. And I believe as many as 18 Sikhs were voted to the Canadian Parliament. So I guess he just have to be a little more aware. Going back to the point of interviews, I think I've had my share of experiences as well. Like I mentioned initially, where you know people have suggested me that, hey, you should change your name on the resume. And I'm like, why? As I mean, they have to see me eventually when I'll start working for them. So that is definitely not the last resort to choose that change your name on the resume. But I do see that things are changing, but there is still a long way to go. And we can just hope for the best. And the change is there for sure. So, Gursaheb, let's just talk about your YouTube channel. It's called Gursaheb Singh Canada. You have said many times that you were also always an introvert and very camera-shy person. But considering your successful content creator career, you have definitely come a long way. So tell us about the initial seed, the initial idea of your channel, and was there any other channel or channels that you were taking as a reference?
See, I had seen a few channels when I planned to come to Canada. There were a couple of channels I used to watch and to just get a basic information or like basic idea how the life in Canada is. What are the first steps to do in Canada? Because they can give their first and they were sharing their first hand experience. Then before moving to Canada, I also wanted, okay, I'll also create videos. I'll share my knowledge or my experience with you. Because there has always been a teacher inside me, right? So I created a video before coming to Canada. Yeah. So I was coming to Canada in August 2018. So I shot a video in July 2018. Posted it on YouTube channel, didn't get any views, like 30, 40 views, random views. So, and after I came to Canada, my plan was just to continue that channel, share videos, like whatever I'm doing, getting SIN number, getting my accommodation, whatever is happening in my life, I'll just share on that channel.
Yeah.
Very organic, you know, very organic. But when I came here, everything was very different. Whatever I had planned, everything happened was very different, right? You get busy, you have jobs, you have assignments, exams, the class. I didn't get any time to shoot videos or edit them. Right. So 2 years passed. And then in 2020, in October, I was like, there is a channel, Potato Talkies. I was talking to them and we decided, okay, I can come on their channel and share how I collected my fees for my study in Canada and how I was able to repay my loan in Canada. So I shared that journey with them on their channel. And after that, I was approached by so many people, like so many people messaged me on different social media platforms, LinkedIn and Facebook, like asking me different random questions. So my fiance, like at that time, she was my fiance. So she pushed me, okay, why don't you start your own channel? Just start your channel. Like, so it took 6 months, 6 to 7 months to decide, to plan that, okay, I want to start my channel because I was very camera shy. I didn't know like how to shoot videos, how to handle camera and everything. No idea at all. So I started with Instagram. Like, as you know, like it's very difficult to face a camera and talk about random stuff, right? So I started with Instagram, where I would create a 10 second or 15 second video, a reel. And in that, I won't say anything. I'll just put some text on the screen. And that way, I thought, okay, at least I will be able to face the camera, learn to face camera, how to handle it, how to set a frame and all that stuff. So I learned that thing using that. And slowly, I started getting some popularity, I would say. Like people, I got attention of people using those reels. And there were so many positive comments, which motivated me to start a YouTube channel. And eventually in July, I started that channel.
So how did you educate yourself regarding, you know, all these technical stuff, maybe the editing or maybe the shooting? Did you did any course or were you always a little bit into it back in India? How did that happen?
I had never did any video editing before. See, I was into graphic designing and like designing posters and stuff back in India and in Canada also. Like a couple of times I did poster designing and graphic designing for a couple of NGOs in Canada. And back in India, I used to, I had, for my startup, I had designed my, all the graphic work, like banners for the website. I designed my website on my own, like the, my startup in 2013. And did a lot of graphic designing stuff, right? For workshops and seminars. So you have to design so many things. So I did everything and I knew graphic designing. So I thought, okay, editing, it's completely different, but still something will be similar. So I just saw that, okay, what are the free softwares available? I came to know that, okay, I have an Apple laptop and there's a iMovie software, which is free of cost. So I just downloaded a random video from YouTube and then I started editing it just to learn, right? How to put a cut, how to add audio, how to mix audio, how to do stuff. So slowly, slowly, I started learning it. If you look at my initial videos, they are very, you'll see it's very basic editing. Now it's a little advanced, not an not expert thing, but better than before. And I did not do any course. I just learned everything from YouTube, like basic things, how to import, how to create library, how to do everything. I just learned from YouTube. There is no point, like nowadays, there is no point buying a course until it's very specialized thing. Everything is available on for free on YouTube. Like if somebody is spending $100 just to learn editing, I don't think that makes sense.
Yeah, and these things are more of like a hands-on thing. You really have to get into it to learn and make mistakes and then, you know, mend them for sure. And you said that you got these comments from people and that's what motivated you to continue doing it more and more. But Kusaib, are there any days when, you know, you don't want to record, you don't want to get ready and be presentable for the camera?
Sometimes it happens, like very rarely, but my thinking is, it's my second job. Like if I do not, for example, if I do not want to go to my first job, my day job, 9 to 5, I don't feel like going there. I have to go. I have to show up. I have to put a fake smile on Zoom meetings and work over there. Even if I don't feel, same goes with my second job, which is content creation. Even if I don't feel like doing it, I have to do it. Like there is no emotion. Like I don't have to do it. I want to take rest. I want to do it. Like this kind of emotion, it's not there. Right? Once I say that, hey guys, this is Guru Sahib, I get all the energy and then I shoot the video. At that point of time, every emotion is there. Like, because everything is organic, what I speak. But the day I want to shoot the video, it's a job, man. I have to do it. If I don't do it, YouTube will throw me out.
Yeah, you know, there's this video I see keep on floating around on Instagram that when your boss asks you to do something, you always do it. Whenever they ask you to join a meeting at 9 a.m., 8 a.m., you join it. But when you have to, when you put a schedule for yourself, you never follow it and you actually tend to procrastinate.
Exactly. I cannot procrastinate because usually I put like after 3-4 days, I put a new video. If I make it 10 days, my algorithm will get hampered and views will go down for sure. And every content creator is working for views. Some people say that, okay, we don't want views. We don't want money. They're lying, right? Everybody wants views. So if I do not shoot for 10 days or 20 days, the views will go down. So I cannot do that. It's very expensive for me.
And you also do provide, you know, this one-to-one mentorship and there's also a community that people can join on Discord. Tell us where they can connect with you and also what they can expect from those communities and the one-to-one mentorship.
A one-to-one mentorship is a 45-minute video call I do with potential students who are planning to come to Canada or who are already in Canada. So it's mainly for job search and life in Canada. Nothing to do with immigration or anything because I'm not authorized to do that, right? So just finding a job in Canada, because I have very good experience in finding a job back in India and in Canada as well. I've changed three jobs in 2 years. And so just a token money of $30. I don't even remember how much it was. And I don't even use that money. It's just in my PayPal wallet. It's still there, whatever it is. And because just for the seriousness of the people, if initially, I made it free. It was free of cost initially. And what happened? So many people booked the calendar and 50% of them did not even show up because it was free. So there was no seriousness. So that's why we have to keep a token, right? And the second thing is Amers Community. That's a Discord server. So people, students just can come there, chit chat, talk. If my help is needed, sometimes, very rarely, I also message if somebody addresses me. Otherwise, it's just a community where people can combine, like find accommodation, look for jobs, network over there. It's all that.
Perfect. So to all my listeners, to contact Gur Sahib and to also book that a session with him. And you said it right, Gur Sahib, that, you know, I think you've also put in your years of experiences into those conversations that you're having with people, right? And so $30 is like a very minimal amount, like you said, for the seriousness and also to kind of put value to the time that you have spent in Canada a little bit. So all the links to contact Gur Sahib can be found in the show notes. So, Rasai, before we get into the next segment of the podcast, I want to go back to the time, you know, where you were talking about, you know, your family and not having enough monetary funds, you know. Tell me now that how your relationship with money has changed throughout these years.
It has changed a lot. Like, I have learned so many things. Like, so many things. Like, YouTube or social media platforms, they are teaching us a lot of things. I'll address one thing later when I finish this, but I want to tell, I was very materialistic guy. Like, okay, I want to buy an iPhone. I want a very expensive car. When I came to Canada, what I told my friend, I told him, like, we were planning to buy a car, right? I told him, I want to buy that car, which is not available in India. I'll buy something. If I buy something which is already available in India, so there is no point of coming to Canada. That was my thinking. So I bought Nissan Altima over here. My first car was Nissan Altima because that car is not there in India. They have Nissan Sunny and other cars.
Yeah.
So, and I used to spend money, like up till I was collecting my fees or I was repaying my loan, I was very serious with the money, like did not spend much. But after that, I don't know what happened, and I was spending money like crazy. Like when I graduated, I had $0 in my account. Not zero, but $200-$300 in my account, which technically it should have been around $4,000. So I spent $4,000 for no reason. Like, okay, let's go out, have fun over there. Let's eat in that fancy restaurant. So slowly, gradually, I learned so many things that money is so important. It's very important. It's beside everything, relationship, anything. It's just on top. Whatever for you is on top, money sits beside that. Right?
Yeah.
So I started investing money. I came to know about the difference between needs and wants. Like if I want to go to my office in a car, driving in a Hyundai Elantra 2010 model, which is for $5,000, that is your need. And if you want to do the same thing from your home to office in a Mercedes for $30,000, latest one with all fancy features, which are actually honeymoon features, you use them for first month and you don't use them later. Right?
Yeah.
So that is your want. So I learned that if you want to spend, there's no harm in spending money on want. Definitely spend. Life is like you have got one life and enjoy your life, but make sure you have enough money at least three times whatever you want to spend on wants. So if you want to spend $50 on your wants, which is not at all required, you should have at least $150 in your account. Spare $150. Right? Then only spend $50. That I learned. Like it is this thing is not a rule or a law by law of the government, but it's helping me a lot. Like I can save much more by following this rule. And another thing I have understood is just invest your money in something good, be it stocks, be it ETF, buy gold, whatever which appreciates with time. Like try to invest your money smartly in something. Do not invest your money in things which depreciate with time. Be very smart with money. That's the whole thing I've learned.
You know, you also, in many of your videos, you do say, you know, make your parents proud. I've heard you saying this so many times, even on Instagram and YouTube and everywhere. Tell me, how does your parents react to everything that you have been doing, and how do you feel about that?
They feel very proud, like they are very happy about it. That proud feeling of parents cannot be expressed in words. Like, I'll give you an example. There was my parents' friend came to our home, like, back in India. Mm-hmm. So they had a daughter, and my picture was on the wall, and my wife's picture mm-hmm. was on the wall. So she just saw our picture, and she told, okay, I know them. I watch them on YouTube. So they were very happy about it, like so much proud about it. So that's something very nice. Like, I cannot express that feeling, their feeling in words. Maybe when they come to Canada, we'll do a podcast again and they'll tell how they feel.
for sure, 100%. So now, Guru Sahib, you know, there are so many lessons, obviously, you have shared here on the podcast also, but also, you know, a lot of those you have shared throughout your social media platforms, and there were few of those that I have gathered them, and I want you to expand on those that they will help the immigrants and particularly international mm-hmm. students. So I'm calling this next segment Guru Sahib's Guide to Thrive. So the first is, you always have talked about, like, not to be blindsided by fancy music videos and film.
Yeah, right. Because whatever we see in movies or in Punjabi songs, everything is fake, right? They are driving mm-hmm. Mustang, they are driving Mercedes or whatever, muscle car or anything. Or in Bollywood, we see that the main lead is coming to a Western country, he's enjoying his life. He has a girlfriend, like a Canadian or a foreigner girlfriend. He's living in a very fancy apartment, driving very nice cars. Everything is fake. Everything is like, just they're just enacting something, right? The reality is completely mm-hmm. different, like nowhere close to it. You wash your utensils, you wash your clothes, you go to your part-time job, you're worried about your next semester fees, or maybe you have an education loan, you're worried about that. You don't get time for mm-hmm. all these things. And if you, like, definitely you can do all these things. You can go to clubs, you can have a fancy car. Definitely you can do that. But do not expect that you will have money for emergencies or money to pay for your fees or the important things in life.
Mm-hmm.
So,
for sure. Yeah.
It's your decision. So it's completely different.
Okay. So the next was choose your course wisely.
Very wisely, I would say. Like, everything will depend on that. If you choose there can be two scenarios. One is you are coming to Canada to study something and you want to make your career mm-hmm. in that specific thing only. That is a scenario. So if you are in category one, then definitely choose your course very wisely, because if you choose something which is not relevant to the industry or which is not even demand in industry, like which is not in demand in industry, or that course is only to attract immigrants to come to Canada at low cost mm-hmm. for the profit of the college or university, after you graduate, it's going to be very difficult to get a job,
mm-hmm.
right? Because there are so many courses which are just for the sake of generating profit for the college. So don't do those courses. I cannot name specific college or specific courses, but there are so many of them, right? They will teach you basic mathematics, basic English, basic skills, which anybody knows, like a 12th grade student will know about it, how to speak in English or how to do plus minus, how to do differentiation or integration. Very easy stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
Second category is you want to come to Canada and do your business in something, whatever. You want to open a restaurant, you want to be into truck business, transport business, want to do something else. So do anything. Just come to Canada with any course, doesn't matter, and then your business. I would say if you are coming to Canada to make a career in a specific field, in the field you study, choose your course very wisely. because you're spending $30,000-$40,000 on a course and you want some return on investment. After graduating from a college or university in Canada, eventually you're working on minimum wage, $15 per hour. So there's no point studying in Canada, right?
Yeah. So the next was, you know, LinkedIn is a great source that people don't use enough.
Yes. LinkedIn is a very powerful tool. You can network. Even if you do not network, first of all, there are so many job opportunities over there. You just look at them. Mm-hmm. While you are studying for 2 years, just look at the job descriptions. You will get to know like what the employer is expecting from a potential candidate, what skills they are needed, they are asking, right? So just look at those job descriptions, start doing those skills. So LinkedIn is a great source of knowledge in those terms. Also, when you look at a job description, there is a link to the person's profile who has posted that job. Who has posted that job opening. So just check out his profile. Try to talk to him. Maybe, you never know, out of 10 or 20, one of them responds and tell that, okay, just send us your resume. You don't know, right? So it is a great mm-hmm. tool. You won't find this feature in Indeed or any other platform. So you'll find this on LinkedIn. On top of that, mm-hmm. LinkedIn, just create your personal brand on LinkedIn. I have learned this recently. Create your personal brand on LinkedIn. Talk about your field. You are in accounts, finance, engineering, software, whatever you are doing in your life, in your career. Just talk about that thing on LinkedIn. Talk mm-hmm. in communities. Share your opinion on different posts related to your field. Mm-hmm. So if you are into accounts, somebody posts something related to accounts, just comment on that. Share your opinion. Expand your network on LinkedIn this way. And automatically people will approach you. Like recruiters will approach you for a job. This happens to me a lot.
Yeah, for sure. I think I also reached to, I remember during my job search, I was trying to network mm-hmm. with people and I think I reached out to 102 people. I still have that list with me. And out of those, like mm-hmm. 25 of them agreed to get on a call and just chat with me. So it definitely works as long as it's properly done.
And, you know, once I got an interview call from a company, I just opened the LinkedIn profile of that company. I found that, okay, these all people are working over there. There's a people's tab. Right. You see all whosoever is working over there. I just opened a random profile. I talked to that guy. I asked him like what kind of questions they can ask me in the interview. What do they expect from an employee here in your company? So mm-hmm. he did not tell me the exact questions like, okay, this is the question they're going to ask. But he told me that these are the main topics they're concerned about.
Hmm. Yeah.
Right. So You can get those insights also. And you can tell that, okay, this guy is going to take my interview. How is that guy? Like, what to expect? Right? Mm-hmm. So these kind of things you can ask from people. So it could be very beneficial. Just try to use LinkedIn.
So the next one is something which I think you're very passionate about talking this point that, you know, not to share your accommodation with your classmates.
Yeah. Not share your accommodation with your classmates. Not at all. Like it's until no other option left, then definitely there is no other option. You have to share. But if there is any option, just share with someone else. Do not share a room with classmates, house with classmates, and do not share your house with the people like your co-workers who are at your part-time job. Because mm-hmm. the reason not to share with classmates is when you wake up, you see their faces. When you go to the college, mm-hmm. you'll see their faces. When you come back to home, you'll see their faces and and the point is you love your wife so much. Still, you have a fight. You love your parents so much. Still, some way or the other, you have a fight. And those people who are coming from different parts of the country, you don't love them. You don't know them. Definitely, you're going to have a fight. There will be conflicts and you're coming to Canada, not for conflicts, to make your career and make your parents proud, like earn money. A good lifestyle, right? So those things will hamper your mindset a lot in a negative way. So don't at all share a room with your housemates. Another thing is when you share with your share your home with classmates, when you get assignments, there are exams, everything gets busy. Everyone gets busy at the same
time. Yeah, exactly.
There are so many things to do at home. Like there are so many chores. You have to cook, you have to wash utensils, you have to clean the floor. So many things you have to do. Nobody's going to do during the exams, and then there will be conflicts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And third, benefit of not sharing room with your or home with your classmates or your co-workers is if you mm-hmm. have classmates, like you will have classmates for sure. So that is one group, mm-hmm. right? You will have co-workers. That is second group. And mm-hmm. the people with whom you share your house, that will be your third group. So it is another way to expand mm-hmm. your network in Canada. So
yeah.
More benefits. There are benefits, right? So
yeah, no, you definitely articulated it like perfectly. Perfectly, yeah. Okay, so Gursaib, this next question is from one of our listeners who also follows your content. And just to give like a little bit of context to our listeners today, that, you know, one of the listeners of the podcast, her name is Vanshika. She reached out to me on LinkedIn and she suggested to interview Gursaib, who was already on my list without a doubt. And then we connected and now we are recording this. So if any of you listeners today would like to share their immigrant story or know somebody I should invite next on the podcast, you can also reach out to us on LinkedIn, Instagram, or you can also write to us at hello@mythickaccent.com. So Gursaib, Vanshika's questions are as follows. The first was, she was asking, will we be seeing more content about immigrating to Canada other than coming as international student?
I can share that. I have good knowledge about immigrating to Canada on work permit or permanent residency. But honestly, mm-hmm. it's not my first-hand experience. I came to Canada as an international student. All my experiences, whatever I talk on my YouTube channel is based on my experience. So mm-hmm. my priority is talking about being an international student in Canada, sharing all the experiences, mistakes, and all the things to do and not to do. But as a permanent mm-hmm. resident coming to Canada on a work permit, I don't have first-hand experience in that. I will mm-hmm. invite people who came to Canada through those doors, but I will not talk about it, honestly.
Okay.
Maybe I fall short of topics, then maybe I'll have to talk about it. There's no plan as of now.
Okay. Another question was that I do hear about crimes and unsafe environments in Canada. So is it safe to live in Toronto nowadays?
See, what I think is every country or every city in the world is like there is crime in every city and every country of the world. You cannot mm-hmm. just escape it. There is no perfect country where there is zero crime, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, but if you go to wrong place at wrong time, there are chances that something bad could happen. If you go to downtown Toronto in the narrow streets at 1 a.m. in night, there are chances that something bad could happen, right? So mm-hmm. definitely live in Toronto at good places, like good residential places. Try to avoid using public transport, particularly the underground subway during night. So it is safe. So if you're traveling at night, like it could sound very weird, like biased, but that is the truth, right?
Yeah.
Just be cautious about everything. Just travel in daylight, live in good residential places. But I don't recommend anybody to live in Toronto. Toronto is, according to me, one of the worst places to live in Canada.
Really? Why would you say that?
Honestly, like if you're earning like $5,000 a month, you're spending $3,000-$4,000 on your expenses.
Mm-hmm.
So why to live in Toronto when you can earn $5,000, spend only $2,000 on your expenses by living in a smaller city? So live in that city.
Mm.
Nowadays, it's a time of remote work. So why there's no point getting stuck in traffic at 5 o'clock? I came to Canada to stay away from traffic, have a good, peaceful life. And I don't want to get, there's no point getting stuck in the same thing in Canada when you have the options. There is something like, something is expensive, but there is a reason to that. But I don't think there is any reason for it being so expensive.
So now, Gursaib, we are in the final segment of the podcast. I call it Beneath the Accent because we are knowing each other beneath the accent. I'm going to ask you a couple of questions. You can answer them in one word or a sentence or however you feel like. The idea is just to know more about you. So, ready?
Yes.
So what advice would you give to Gursaib who is in the initial months of landing in Canada?
Do not save $2 or $5 or $100. Do not compromise your comfort. For $100.
So are there any situations that make you awkward and why?
If I'm recording a video, I'm shooting a video at a public place and somebody is just staring at me, that makes me really awkward. And I have to go to another place and reshoot that part.
Okay. So what is the best piece of advice someone ever gave you?
One I can remember right now is, whatever the money you have, invest in something which appreciates. That is the advice I got from somebody last year. And there have been so many changes after that in my life. Like, I can save more. I see my money growing because of that advice.
Okay. And is there any worst advice someone ever gave you?
Yeah. It was not an advice. It was just a statement. Like, you do not get jobs in Canada without references. Definitely without. Okay. I have got 3 jobs in Canada till now. All of them have been without references.
Yeah. So you're definitely an example to that person. Okay. Yeah. So next, what's this one habit, Guru Sahib, you adopted that has changed your life?
Showing up, even if I don't feel anything. If I don't feel like showing up. July 2021, when I started my YouTube channel, everything got changed after the YouTube channel blew up, right? Like, when I started getting attention of the... That was because I started showing up after every 2 days. Like, my objective or my aim was to shoot or upload a video after every 2 days. I could procrastinate and just wait, okay, I will not do that. Or I had a target. I had a target of 50 videos. To one video after every 2 days, and it did well.
So who's your go-to person when you feel stuck?
My uncle in Milton. He gives me all financial advices. I would say my wife. Like, we just discuss if we are stuck in something, we have any problem. We just discuss. Okay. I just discuss with my parents or my wife.
So what has been your favorite job that you have held?
My current job. I just love it. It's core embedded systems and development of integrated circuits. So I just love it. Like, I started doing that in 2012 when I was doing my second year internship. I got exposed to embedded systems, and I always wanted to work in a semiconductor company where ICs or integrated circuits are designed. So finally, I got that in Canada. So that's a great thing.
Yeah. Is there something you recently bought that you now regret?
A lot of things.
Okay, name a couple.
Jeep Compass I bought in 2020. Okay. Sold it in 2022. I regret that decision big time. I should have bought a $2,000-$3,000 car at that point of
time. Okay.
Another thing I bought, I regret. The place I'm living right now, I don't like it, but we are moving soon.
So what's this one video that you recommend our listeners to must see on your channel, if there is any?
I would say 2 videos. One is Ground Reality of Canada, which tells you about the actual reality, what happens in Canada as compared to what is shown on Punjabi movies or Punjabi song, whatever. And the other one is, should you come to Canada in 2023 or 2024? So these are two that I would recommend. I like those videos.
So describe Canada in one word or a sentence.
If your financial decisions are good, then it's a heaven. If your financial decisions are bad, it's a curse.
Okay. I like that answer.
Because it's a capitalist country, right? North America is very capitalist. So your financial decisions matter a lot.
Yeah, 100%. So on that note, Guru Sahib, thank you so much for being on the podcast and adding value to my listeners.
Thank you so much for inviting.
Hey, listener. Thank you for making it to the end. I highly, highly appreciate you listening to the podcast. Subscribe to the podcast if you haven't as yet. And please share with your friends or anybody you think would like it. And like I always say, we encourage you to follow your heart. But but also us on Instagram. The handle is mythickaccent. You can also leave us a review or write to us at hello@mythickaccent.com. So stay tuned and let's continue knowing each other beneath the accent.